thank you so much for the opportunity to teach this course. And I hope that everybody here finds something in it that you can apply to your own life and that you can apply to your position of leadership. Let's take a moment this morning and let's review some of the things we've gone over the last few weeks. First of all, we learned that leadership is a gift. It's a gift of the Spirit, okay? All of us are called to lead, all right? So we have to develop the characteristics of leadership so that we can be good and faithful leaders. Romans chapter 13, verse 1 says, "Everyone must submit to the governing authorities, for all authority comes from God. And those in positions of authority have been placed there by God." We have to follow God's blueprint in order to be placed in those positions to begin with. Okay? God gives us a model to follow. He gave us, we have the life of Jesus. Jesus was a perfect leader. He was perfect in everything he did. And because he was a leader, we know he was a perfect leader. So we have a great blueprint to follow in his life, in the life of Gideon, in the life of David, in the life of Solomon, all these people that we've studied, we have these blueprints to follow. And so we know the characteristics to look for, and we're learning how to apply those in our lives. When we apply those characteristics, then God can place us in those positions of authority. Okay, we discussed a lot of the characteristics of a leader. A leader is first and foremost a servant. Before they do anything else, a leader is the person who's out taking care of people. That's his number one job, is to take care of his people. Everything else is secondary. Okay? Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. He fed hungry people. He healed the sick. He served people everywhere he went, and people followed him. Okay? I got no mouse to click today. I'm turning papers. A leader is obedient. We saw in the story of Gideon that by being obedient, it changed everything in his life. Gideon was obedient to God, and it gave him influence over people that he had never had before. He was the least in his tribe, and his tribe was the least of all the other tribes. But when Gideon put out a call to arms under God's power, people responded, and he led an entire army. Okay, it allowed God to operate through Gideon in a supernatural way. The word says that God possessed Gideon, and then he sent out the call to arms. Okay, if Gideon wasn't being obedient in the first place, God would never have been able to work through him that way. That obedience is a key. If you want God to, if you're always crying out, God, do something in me, do something through me, help me do something for somebody else, you have to be obedient. I mean, what good is it going to do God to come in and let's say that God possesses you. God, take control of me and let me do something in somebody. And he possesses you and you fight him the whole way. It doesn't do any good. Being obedient changed Gideon's identity. It changed the way people looked at him. It changed the very name that they called him. Okay? A leader hears the voice of God. There's no way to be obedient if you can't hear God's voice. You can't. If you don't know what God's expecting of you, you can't do what God's expecting of you. That's simple. And we learned how to do that. We learned that God isn't trying to be quiet, and he's not trying to make it hard for you to hear. You have to be close enough to God to hear what's going on. God's voice is powerful. But you have to get close enough to it to understand it and to hear what's going on. And you have to spend enough time close to that voice that you recognize it when you do hear it. That voice needs to be like the voice of a friend that you call on the phone. And you know as soon as they say hello, you know who you're talking to. Okay, a leader is loyal. David faithfully served King Saul, even though he had been anointed king. Okay? David went in and played the harp for King Saul, knowing that God had taken his favor away from Saul, but it wasn't his place to take over the kingdom at that point. David recognized that, and he was loyal to that king, and he learned from that king. A leader is a teacher. All throughout his ministry, Jesus taught. He taught in synagogues, he taught in the streets, he taught on boats, he taught on hilltops, he taught everywhere he was, he would teach. If there was somebody around Jesus was teaching them something. Jesus was the ultimate expert on any subject matter. If you want to know how to live your life, you follow Jesus, and Jesus will teach you. So we know that as leaders, we got to be teaching our people. And that brings us to the next characteristic of leadership. Leaders are experts in their fields. You can't teach anybody how to do your job if you don't know how to do your job. You can't teach anybody if you don't know what you're doing. I could take some people out into the woods and say, let's go from point A to point B, but if I don't know how to read a map, it's going to be a long, cold night. I mean, just because I'm in that position of leadership and say, come on, let's go, that doesn't mean I know how to get you there. I had a lieutenant. He was like a lot of lieutenants. He thought he could read a map. That's unfair. He could read a map. He really could read a map. He something in his brain, he couldn't translate the pictures on the paper to the trees that were around him. He couldn't understand. Something was lost in translation there. Okay. He could look at a map, he could plot a course on a map, and he could tell you that this point is over that way. But once you're on the ground with him, he's lost. So one evening, we go on a training exercise. Sun's going down. And we spend most of the night walking. Now, this wasn't unusual by any means. We followed that young lieutenant through briars and ticks, and through the creeks, and up and down the sides of the mountain. Walked for miles and miles and miles. Okay. Just before sunrise, we got to our objective. We were going to attack an opposing force. Okay, they were camped out. We were going to hit them on their own camp. So we set up this great attack position. You know, it's still dark. It's still quiet. Nobody knows we're there. It was quiet pre-dawn moments. Weariness gives way to adrenaline. You know that there's a battle coming, and you're excited about that firefight. And when we started firing on those positions, everything's going according to plan. They're confused and they're disjointed and they're just rolling out of bed and they don't know what's going on. They just know they're getting shot at and they're freaking out. And we overwhelmed them with superior firepower and coordination. And as the sun came up and we saw the men we had attacked, it was a part of our own unit that had stayed behind with our gear. We walked in a complete circle and attacked our own camp. If you want to be in charge of an infantry unit, you have to learn to navigate the woods, because that's kind of what they do. All right. If you want to be in charge of anything, you have to learn how to efficiently operate in your area of responsibility. People count on their leaders to lead them. And if you don't know what you're doing, you can't lead. Last week, we discussed King Solomon. In his life, we learned that leaders have to be decisive. That is to say, they make decisions. They don't sway back and forth between options. They're not making excuses that they don't want to mess up. I said they're not making excuses that they don't want to mess up. Okay? We know that if we're hearing from God, and we're being obedient to him, then we're probably not going to mess up anyway. And if we do mess it up, we're not going to mess it up too bad. I mean, this world's been going around for a long time. And God's still in control. He is. I promise you, you're not going to mess up so bad so as to knock the earth off kilter. If you want to be a leader, the time to act is right now. Okay, I'm going to borrow a couple of people. Josh, can I borrow you for a minute? Do you mind? Okay. Brother Timmy, do you mind? Okay. Okay. That's good. Hang on to that. Bring me that ball.
Okay. Okay.
All right, I once had a drill sergeant who taught hand-to-hand combat. He had a mantra that we followed. Every time we trained, he would say this over and over and over. Why does he still have my ball? Get that ball for me. Get that ball for me. It was true 100% of the time, every time he said it. He said, "He who hesitates dies." In war, when you hesitate, you get killed, and you get your people killed. Okay. The only thing hesitation won't destroy is your enemy. Get my ball. I want my ball. Okay. Thank you so much for your time. I saw a poster the other day, and the caption at the bottom of it, I thought this was funny. It said, "I will make my enemy advance on me through a shower of bullets. I may be killed with my own weapon, but he will have to beat me to death with it because it'll be empty." Nothing in that said that the author was going to wait until the timing was better. Nothing in that said that he had to get authorization from the committee before he did something. The author was committed to action. He understood that he was in a life or death situation and that nothing was going to stop him from doing everything he could to survive that. He was going to act. He was going to be decisive. He had already made up his mind before he ever stepped foot through the door. This is what I'm going to do. And I'm going to hit him. I'm going to hit him hard. I'm going to act. He didn't stand outside wondering, should I really do that? Isn't there a better way that we could do that? I bet we could talk about it. He acted. Okay? And he understood that his action might get him killed. He understood that by being decisive in that way, it very well may cost him his life. But he was going to fight. He was going to keep fighting. He was going to act. He was going to do something right then. He was going to take charge of that situation. You may notice I'm spending a lot of time on this one. Take note. I'm spending a lot of time on it because it's important. And it's one of the things that people have trouble with. I want you to get this deep in your soul. I want you to understand that if you're going to be a leader, it's imperative that you act decisively. You have to stop second-guessing yourself. As a leader, you have to look out, see a void, and fill it. You have to be able to see a need and satisfy that need right then. You have to see what needs to be done in your area of responsibility and do it. It's your area of responsibility. That area, as a leader, is entrusted to you. Okay? You're responsible for it. When something goes wrong there, it's on your head. When something's missing from it, it's your fault. So see those needs and fill them. Take care of what needs to be done. You don't have to go to 15 people for authorization and asking, do you think we should do this? Or do you think we should? No. And there's nothing wrong with seeking godly counsel. It's biblical. It's scriptural to seek godly counsel. But act. and seek some counsel while you're acting. Hear from God. If you want godly counsel, hear from God. God will tell you what he wants you to do, and it'll be right. It'll be the right thing to do every time. Every single time, even if it seems like it's the wrong thing to do, if you're doing what God tells you to do, it's the right thing to do. Okay, reading from the Amplified Bible. It's funny, I read this in my own Bible. I'm a big fan of the New Living Translation, and I read this scripture. Let me read it to you from the Amplified Bible. Matthew 11:12 says, "And from the days of John the Baptist until the present time, the kingdom of heaven has endured violent assault, and violent men seize it by force, parenthesis, as a precious prize. A share in the heavenly kingdom is sought with most ardent zeal and intense exertion." Okay, I read that in the New Living Translation, and it said something like, the kingdom of heaven suffers violent attacks, and violent men are constantly attacking it. And I thought, I don't get it. That doesn't sound right. Why is God talking about people attacking heaven? I found it in the Amplified, and it made more sense to me that way. I've always heard that, and I've always heard the violent men take it by force. And so when I read it in the New Living, I was like, what? I don't get it. I see it in the Amplified. It's a precious prize. These people are fighting for a share of the kingdom of heaven, all right? And they're fighting hard for it. Intense exertion and the most ardent zeal. Okay, I don't want to make fun of anybody, but what Brother Tim was doing was not intense exertion. He wasn't going after this with the most ardent zeal. If he had been, Josh would be laying on his butt, and I would have had my ball a long time ago. That's a fact. If this were a share of the kingdom of heaven, I'm sure Brother Timmy would have laid him out. I have no doubt, because that's just the kind of guy he is. He goes after heaven with everything in his heart. You have to be willing to fight. The Bible tells us that in this particular passage of Scripture that the kingdom of heaven is a prize that's worth fighting for. Your area of responsibility is worth fighting for. We said last week that the consequences of a leader's actions are far-reaching, and I should have clarified that. Understand that it's not just the negative consequences that are far-reaching. The positive consequences reach even further. God's grace covers us when we mess up. There's still consequences that we have to pay when we mess up. But instead of this being a continuing ripple effect where I mess up something here and it affects my children and my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren and on down the line through eternity, God's grace steps in and says, okay, that's enough. That's enough. God's grace covers us and protects us from the consequences of our own actions. And when we mess up, God steps in and he protects us. The positive consequences leave a legacy. Okay? If you want to see your legacy, go operate in your area of responsibility and save someone's life and save that person's soul. What you'll see is that your consequence isn't just that person that you help. It's not just that person that you save. You touch that person's life and they touch another person's life and they touch another person's life and another person's life. And that goes on and on and on throughout the city, throughout the state, throughout the country, and throughout time. You leave a lasting legacy and God doesn't step in and stop that one. That's pretty far reaching. That is something that's worth fighting for. That's something that, when you look at it in terms of eternity, and what little effect the things that you do have on it, on an eternity. What impact do you have on eternity? That's something worth fighting for. That's something to get excited about. That's a good reason to be decisive. It's a reason to act right now. When you do nothing, you accomplish nothing. When you hesitate, you miss your opportunities. They're blown and they're gone and they're not coming back. He who hesitates dies. Over and over and over in that nasty sawdust pit, I saw it. These two guys would come at each other, and one of them would hesitate for just a second. The next thing you know, he's flat on his back. Every time somebody hesitated, that was it. It was over. It's the same way with us. Every time we hesitate, every time you hesitate, you're going to get hit. Every time you hesitate, you're going to miss your opportunity. Every time you hesitate, you're going to miss the opportunity to take him down and get on top of him and be the victor in that battle. You don't have to keep fighting that battle. It could be over already. But you keep hesitating. Keep hesitating, you're going to keep getting hit. Okay. Finally, we saw that leaders are stable. Leaders are the solid rock on which their area of responsibility is built. Just as Jesus is our solid rock, okay? You're the foundation for whatever your leadership role is, whatever your area of responsibility is. As the leader, you're the foundation for that. People are going to come to you. Leaders are the ones that people are going to come to for guidance and advice. People tend to naturally gravitate towards stability. Look, we live in a crazy world. Most of my life is spent running about 1,000 miles an hour trying to accomplish tasks without number. I'm always busy. I'm always going somewhere. I'm always doing something. There is drama in my life, whether I want there to be or not. It's just part of being alive. I run into problems in my family, with problems with my friends. You know, somebody gets sick in my family. Somebody's hurting. Somebody's had a bad day. All of that affects me too. And it can be something as simple as the car won't start. You want to talk about starting off your day on the wrong foot. You get up and your car won't start. It's not, most of the time your day doesn't just skyrocket from there. It's tough. And whether you want that to happen or not, whether you want to face those obstacles every day or not, they're going to be there. That's just part of life. I need my leader to be an anchor. Because when my day has fallen apart like that, and I feel like I'm that ship tossed out on the stormy sea, I need to be able to see that one spotlight, that one spot of stability that I can gauge myself off of. And I can say, okay, all right, I'm regaining my bearing. This is where I am. I'm going to be okay. I've got that spotlight. I've got that anchor. I've got to have that in a leader because my life is that crazy. If you're going to be a leader, I bet your people have lives that are just that crazy, if not more so. My life is pretty tame compared to a lot of people. I don't have a lot of drama compared to a lot of people. I don't have a lot of problems compared to a lot of people. To me, I look at my life and go, my life is nuts. I don't know. I don't know how anybody would be able to handle this. But I know that my life isn't nuts. My life isn't bad. I've got it made compared to a lot of people. And I still need that anchor. I still need that. I need that stability out of my leaders. And if I'm going to be somebody's leader, it doesn't matter that my life is crazy. It doesn't matter that my ship is tossed like that. I've got to be that person's anchor. I've got to be that beacon that that person can look to and guide from and say, okay, this is where I am. I'm getting my bearings. All right. I'm getting out of the storm. I've got to be that for somebody. I've got to have that for myself. Leaders have to be stable. Once upon a time, there was a young sergeant who came into the unit, and he just really didn't have it all together. He was having problems with his family and his finances and his job, and I mean, anything that could go wrong, it went wrong for this poor guy. And all of this was coupled with the pressure of an upcoming deployment, and that's a lot of stress for anybody to handle. It didn't take long to figure out that this young sergeant wasn't the anchor that my team needed. He wasn't stable. Now, if I'm being fair and honest, I have to say that dropping a new person into our unit was like dropping somebody into a shark tank with a bloody T-bone hanging around their neck. We didn't go easy on anybody. But we wanted to see what people were made of. We knew the importance of having quality leaders. Okay, we had been around the world together already. We knew the importance of having a quality leader for our unit. We knew how important it was to have somebody that was going to be a stable anchor. And it was fun to mess with people. It was. We had to get our entertainment value out of it. But it didn't take long. It didn't take long to see what people are made of. So when they would drop somebody into the unit, we would start torturing them. We didn't torture them long. We didn't have to. But our tortures were effective, and we saw one of two reactions over and over and over again. Either they stayed with us, and they were generally pretty successful, or they left. We saw this new sergeant coming a mile away. And when you work around leaders all the time in your life, when you work around quality leaders all the time, over and over, and you see these... You can see these characteristics in other people. You can pick them out pretty quickly. This guy, he shows up. You could see it in his messed up uniform. It wasn't straight. It wasn't ironed. It was, I mean, he looked like he had just rolled out of the back of a pickup truck. He showed up late. He makes 11,000 phone calls back home before lunch. This guy doesn't have his head in the game. You could see it in his eyes. He didn't have his head in the game. He wasn't ready to be the leader. And he knew that we knew it. And he didn't stay more than a weekend. I thank God that he didn't. Because I hate to think what would happen if I followed somebody into battle and the only thing on his mind was, what's going on with the mortgage? What's my wife doing? I don't care what your wife is doing. There's a guy shooting at me. I'm sorry, and I don't want to sound insensitive. It does sound insensitive. But the fact of the matter is, if you're going to be my leader, I need your head in the game. I need you to be stable. I need you to be able to handle what's going on at home. And get all of that squared away. And have your head in the game when we go to war. If you want me to follow you, get your act together. All right. So let's start tying all of this together. Let's start with expertise. It's hard to be an expert about something if you're not passionate about it. Okay? Everybody has their niche that they fit into perfectly. Everybody's got that one little thing So how do you find it? Where do you find your area of responsibility? Okay. Clue number one, your niche is going to be something generally that you care about deeply. Okay. If you're not gifted in the kitchen, if you don't like cooking, please don't take over the cooking ministry. Please. I eat back there. Don't do it. If you're a little bit obsessive compulsive and you love to spend some free time just cleaning up around the house, maybe you should look into the cleaning team here at the church. Maybe that's your niche. It sounds simple. It sounds so simple. But at the same time, everybody knows what they're good at.
Right.
Everybody knows what they enjoy doing. And 90% of us go, what do I do? Where should I be? You should be doing something that God has created you specifically for. It's that simple. God made you a certain shape. Round peg, square hole. You learn this when you're a toddler. There's a certain place that you fit into. All you have to do is look at yourself and say, okay, I'm this way. This hole is this way, and it's shaped just like me. That's the gap I need to fill. Okay. God wants to use you as you are. This isn't one of those, well, okay, when I get everything together, when I get everything tracking just right, I'll go ahead. No. No. God wants to use you as you are right now. I promise you. Okay. If you pray and ask God to show you what your destiny is and you really want to know, I promise you, He'll show you. He wants to start building His perfect will for your life immediately. Yesterday was too late. We have to get started on this. God's got a plan, and you fit into it. You have an integral part in God's perfect plan. And the sooner you get there, the more effective His plan becomes. And don't forget that you're blessed with a pastor who's gifted in helping people realize their destinies. If you ask her, she can help you. Now, that having been said, don't you dare get lazy. Don't you dare. And say, okay, well, Pastor knows. I'll just go ask Pastor. No, you get on your face and you pray. Before you do anything else, you get on your face and you pray. And you look at yourself and you examine your own life and you figure out and you get an idea for yourself so that when you go to Pastor, you say, okay, this is what I've found and this is what God has shown me. And then Pastor can be your confirmation. And if you're off track, she can correct you. And if you're on the right track, she can give you a push in the right direction. That's what pastor's for. She's not there so you can bypass God. She's not there so you don't have to pray. And so you don't have to put in that time. You still have to do that. She has work to do and she was put here to lead. She doesn't have time to pick up your slack because you're too lazy to pray. Not everybody in this course is assigned a leadership role in the church. But everybody has a role in the church. And just because you're not the boss doesn't mean that you're not a leader in your area. We have to submit to our authorities. That's absolutely paramount. You have to submit to your authorities. But you also have to be a leader in your area. Think of it like this. Every member of this church started out the same way. They started by visiting here. Every person who is a member of this church started out as a visitor. That tells us that the next generation of leaders will be walking through those doors in just a few minutes. They learn how the church functions by watching you. When they see us being leaders in our areas of responsibilities, they learn what it means to lead. Okay? They learn how to make the church work together. They see what it means to be proactive. When they see there's something missing here, and there's this guy, and he's going to go make that not missing anymore. Whatever that is, something as simple as the air conditioner, or as big as all the lights go out. But someone in the church is being proactive, and people will see that. That person's being a leader. They see you serving in your role. They see you being loyal to your God and to your church. And in all of that, you're showing them the blueprint for leadership. Even if you think you don't have a role to play in the church, okay, let me stop there. If anybody in this room thinks you don't have a role to play in the church, go meet with the church leaders immediately, because they'll show you where they need your help. And you will have a role in the church before this day is over. That having been said, even if you feel like you aren't fulfilling a role in the church, you still have a home in which you can be a leader. If you go home and you're loyal and you're knowledgeable and you're obedient and you're a decisive acting servant who is willing to teach somebody, you'll be a leader in your own home. You'll lead your family. You'll lead your friends. You'll lead anyone else who's around you. Because when you start developing those characteristics in yourself, that's when God's power comes on you. When God's power comes on you, you have influence. And people see, most people don't look at you and see, oh, that person is a leader. That person is knowledgeable and decisive, and they're obedient, and they're a servant, and they hear from God. They see something in you that's different. Yes. They see something that makes them want to follow you and do the things that you're doing, yes, and do the things that you ask them to do. They can't even explain why. No clue why they're doing it. That's part of the great thing about this whole supernatural God. We don't have to understand it and comprehend it in those terms. We just know that there's something about that person that's different. I've got to get with them. I've got to go follow them. I'll do whatever that person asks me to do. I don't even know why I'm doing it, but they asked me to go to the gates of hell. I'm going. God gives powerful influence to the leaders that he's anointed. He doesn't do anything halfway, and he doesn't do anything wastefully. God understands even better than you do what it means to leave a lasting legacy and what it means to leave a legacy through the people that you touch. You've got to have some power, and God gives that to you. When you're anointed as a leader, God gives you that power. Because he wants you to have that lasting effect on the world. He wants you to have an impact on the entire planet. Yes. He wants this one spark that started right here in Crossett, Arkansas, to ignite a chain fire all over the world. And he knows that you have to have power to do that, so he gives it to you. If you use that power, if you're following these characteristics of the leadership and you're operating in God's power, there's no limit to what you can do. There is no limit to the impact that you can have on this world. And we're talking about in your own home. Go to your job and be a leader. Do not walk in and usurp the authority that's there. That's not what it means. David was loyal to King Saul. even though David was the anointed king. Okay? He was loyal to King Saul even when Saul tried to kill him. A few times. How many times was David playing the harp and Saul threw a spear at him and tried to kill him? How many times? More than once. My boss tries to kill me, I'm not working for him anymore. I'm being honest with you. I'm going to take him out back and we're going to fight. David was loyal. Don't walk in there and try to fly in the face of your supervisors. That is not being a leader. But be a leader to your peers at work. There are people that you work with that you can be a leader for. Go to work and be the person that they come to when they need direction. Because you're knowledgeable in your area of responsibility. Okay? If you have a job, learn everything there is to know about your job. So that when people have questions about how to do the job, they can come to you. Okay? Be their anchor. Be their servant. Take care of those people that you work with. And watch the doors that God opens up for you. If you think for a second that your boss and your boss's boss and boss's boss's boss doesn't walk in and see something different about you and don't even know what it is, They don't even look at you and go, oh, that person's knowledgeable and they're a servant and they love God and they hear the voice of God. They just know that something's different about you and they know that people follow you. They know that you have influence over all of the people that you work with. Watch some doors open up for you. This isn't a course on how to properly run the church cleaning committee. It's not. This is Leadership 101. This is a course that you take and you apply it to your life. When you walk in here, you apply it. When you walk out of here, you apply it. When you go to Walmart, you apply it to your life. When you go home, you apply it. When you go to work, you apply it. There is somebody out there that you'll lead, even if it's a total stranger. Even if it's a person you have never met before in your life, you follow these characteristics, and God has anointed you as a leader. Every person in here has been anointed as a leader. Follow these characteristics, and you'll lead somebody. And if you're following them, you're going to lead them in the right direction. And you're going to leave a lasting legacy. Become a faithful, godly leader to one person in your life. And you will influence thousands. Nobody's excited about that. One person. One person. I had a lot of good leaders to follow. I had my grandmother, my mom, my Aunt Angie. All of these people influenced my life. They influenced this one life. One life. And now I'm standing up here teaching a course on leadership to all of you. That's a pretty big impact for me. But we're going to turn around and walk out of here, and Sonia's going to step into her role as a leader. And she's going to lead. And if she leads 15 more people, and Ernie leads 15 more people, and Lynetta leads 30, because she got to outdo Ernie. When you turn around and leave this place and you start applying these principles in your life and you become a leader and you start affecting change in people's lives, all of that becomes my legacy too. And all of that becomes the legacy of my aunt, my pastor, my mom, my grandmother, because they influenced my life. Become a leader in your life and watch your legacy grow. Thank you very much. How many questions do we have? We've had 4 weeks of this course. Nobody has any questions. If you come up with questions, please don't hesitate to call me, email me. I'll leave my email address with Aunt Angie. Anybody needs to get in touch with me, because I know somebody out there has got to have a question. We've gone through a four-week course at lightning speed. Okay. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you.